Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Have you ever met a girl that you tried to date, but a year to make love, she wanted you to wait? Let me tell you a story of my situation. I was talking to this girl from the U.S. nation. The way that I met her was on tour at a concert. She had long hair and a short miniskirt.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
Hey, hour number two of the big show. It's Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects, songs pre-2008 that you would listen to in the shower. I have hour number two, so a little Biz Markie to start the hour, right?
Can never go wrong with
that. Is a sing-along song, for sure.
Yes, it is.
That's like Roxanne. Ooh, that was one that I should have put up.
Oh, yeah. Can we talk about the fact that when we tasked Nick with finally contributing in some form or fashion to the show, we tell him to come. He's like, you son of a. He finally sends in an idea for Way Back Wednesday. And yeah. What is it?
It was.
We get a text at 10 o'clock that says, Way Back Wednesday, songs about social media. Okay. And prior to 2008, that was Friendster and MySpace. How many songs about Friendster and MySpace do you think exist, Nicholas?
Wasn't Facebook around in 2004?
But it wasn't that popular.
But I mean, seriously, I thought the same thing. When you sent that, I was like, well, who had social media back then?
I mean, I joined Facebook 10 years ago. That's 2008. So what song in 2007 do you think exists about Facebook?
I mean, I saw a Brad Paisley song.
Oh, what year?
I don't know.
Oh.
It's called Online. I figured it would work for the theme.
Oh. Well, you put all
so
of 5 seconds.
22 to 24 songs that we would need collectively,
yeah, that's why I was
to fill
like,
3 hours, we had one
but
Brad
I bounced
Paisley
back.
Song.
I bounced back. I said, look, I'm going to text you back with you a new idea.
As soon as I get my lazy ass out of bed.
And he said, I'll do it within the hour. That was at 10:15.
And then at 12. And then
it was an hour and a half.
30. And then at 12:15-ish, 2 hours later.
But it worked out.
The brainchild
look,
had an
I guarantee
idea.
You there's some really wise listeners out there that could tell us some songs prior to 2008.
Songs about social media.
About social media.
Why would you open up that can of worms?
Yeah, if you, again, how many songs do you think exist about Facebook? I mean, about MySpace and Friendster? Because that's literally all that existed.
Yeah.
I don't even know that. I think Twitter was 2007 is when it started.
You've got mail. There could have been email.
Message
songs.
Boards.
Yeah.
Songs about AOL. Chat rooms.
That's exactly it.
Sky pager. You could have done beepers by Sir Mix-a-Lot. Anyways, okay. I just had to bring up the fact that that was what we got. That was his big contribution. Was
well,
social
I really,
media prior to 2008.
I'm trying to be more prepped. I'm trying to have all my songs.
Why start now?
Wow.
Only 2 years in.
That's what you get. Hey, you're trying to be more prepped on Way Back Wednesday.
Don't act like you're not doing the show. And
man,
manufacturing a list on Way Back Wednesday sometimes too.
Man, I am always ready. Always. And I don't even have to Google it. All off the dome.
You showed up to when did he show up yesterday? 12:55, and the first thing he did was open up his Subway.
Yeah.
That's the first thing he did.
Yeah.
He's like, time to prep.
You know what this is called? Deflecting.
Wait a minute. Time out.
You're deflecting. What?
What's the first thing you're supposed to do when you show up? If, I mean, I'm just wondering, is there something else I'm missing?
I know.
I mean, when you just show up.
You just eat.
Yeah, I didn't know that there was an order or a checklist because. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a production meeting. There's a very lengthy production meeting that we have each and every day before the show that's really important.
You're right. You're right.
Vital.
You're right.
To this program.
I agree with that. But at the same time, I mean, when we show up, some people put their drink on the table. Some people open up their laptop. Some people go to their Subway.
Yeah.
Now they're not going to be able to do that because the Subway's closed.
It closed it down.
Thank God.
Boy, that was a tearjerker for a lot of people. When you saw the people that work here, saw the tweet yesterday, they were all shocked and disappointed and like bothered by that.
Trey's at the
like,
end of the day,
oh,
when
no,
you're hungry,
cookies.
It's all about convenience sometimes. It is. And let's be real. That's a super convenient spot right
now. No doubt about it.
I had to go to Chipotle, so at some point there's a good chance I will crap my pants during the show. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. That's always a possibility Chipotle.
Yeah, that definitely has, you know,
I noticed you didn't correct me. I did that just for you.
I know.
I even set it up
for
you.
But that's not what you, you didn't call it that.
Yeah, I did.
You called it Chipotnanny is what you called it.
No, I called it. See?
Yes, that's what you said.
Is it Chipotle?
Or was it Chipotnanny?
Nope, Chipotle.
Nope.
You're just making up words.
You're just trying to make it sound less worse.
Chipotnanny sounds like the hillbilly version of Chipotle.
I'm with you. Pineapple and any trip to Chipotle is guaranteed to give me the runs.
Really?
Yep.
This is probably
Chipotle doesn't necessarily do Taco Bell has the same adverse effect.
I didn't say runs. I just meant gas.
I don't run to the border, but I run to the bathroom.
Okay.
Just letting you know.
Did you, by the way, so I went and got my hair cut this morning at J-Ro. With J-Ro at Current Cuts. And you know, he is the barber for Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
Amongst many, many, many other athletes. By the way, shout out to J.J. Watt, Defensive Player of the Week in the AFC. Yes. Good for him. Congratulations.
He leads the AFC in sacks.
Speaking of J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson and hairlines, did y'all see the picture and the fallout?
Yeah.
From the NFL.com tweet about J.J. Watt and the picture of him.
I saw it.
Did you see it, Nick?
And then I only saw it because he started responding. I'm like, what's he talking about? And he had subtweeted the picture. I was like, oh God.
So he was not happy with the picture. And if you've seen the picture, I'm not going to say it's Tom Brady in the courtroom bad. Do you remember that drawing?
I do remember that.
That artist sketch. Yeah. I'm not going to say it's that bad, but it looks nothing like J.J. Watt. It looks like one of the guys from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. It just, I just pick one. It looks like one of those guys with eye black. Or maybe his mascara is running. I don't know. And then Deshaun Watson. Now, when Deshaun got to Houston, with all due respect, his hairline was not on point. It was a little crooked.
God.
My boy J-Ro got it lined up and got it straight.
So he didn't need the James Harden headband?
But did you see the hairline they gave him in this picture?
Way back there.
Totally. Somebody said it looks like the iPhone 10. You know how it's got the little area that comes down into the screen on the iPhone 10? So disrespectful. And DeAndre Hopkins does not look like DeAndre Hopkins in any way, shape, or form in this picture. I don't know who he looks like, but Twitter saw this picture and was so disrespectful to all three of these dudes. But it was hilarious. And J.J. Watt was having none of it.
I mean, I'd be mad if I was J.J. Watt, too, because he looked like Adam Clinton.
Kind of does.
He really does. He really does.
In that picture.
Holy crap, Joel.
He kind of does.
Right?
You nailed it, dude.
Yeah, I think that's the best comparison, honestly.
Oh, my goodness.
J.J.
I will always put on for my city, like right there. That's his pin tweet. He will always put on for his city. J.J. Watt, this was on Instagram, I'm guessing. Was it Instagram? Yeah. He put, wow, you guys really got me looking like a middle-aged bowler during Thursday night local leagues. Oh, it's horrendous.
Now that you mention it, I do see the hairline.
They did Deshaun dirty, yeah, man. Yeah. With that hairline, they did him dirty.
No, he has a receding hairline. Let's be real.
No,
it's starting to start.
But go look. Go look at like Kirk Hunt's Instagram and because he posted a picture of him. He's like, yeah, I got him looking. Because when he got here from Clemson, it was bad. It was crooked.
Because the picture makes him look like LeBron, and then he's going to ask Deshaun if he can borrow that headband because that's about the size of LeBron's headband.
Man.
I mean, on DeAndre.
Yeah. But his hairline looks nothing like what they did to him in the picture. I felt like that was disrespectful to Deshaun and disrespectful to his barber. They did him dirty. But I showed it to J-Ro today. He goes, what in the heck? He was so mad.
I'm sure
he was livid. Because, man, J-Ro takes his hairline serious.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's his business.
Yep.
It's keeping people lined up properly. And he got Deshaun fixed. He was so mad. He's like, yo, that's making me look bad. Oh, it was
that's
super funny. But, yeah, that's a terrible picture. That's literally Tom Brady in the courtroom.
Yeah, that's bad. You're right. Yeah, and
I'll try to screen cap this.
Why was it
tweeted or was it Instagram? No, it was Twitter. I'm going to retweet this if you haven't seen it. So Again, that Barry's Funny, if you want to check it out. I'll find it and reach it. The J.J. Watt version. You can browse through the comments. They're hilarious. Just roasting everybody. They said DeAndre Hopkins looked like Whoopi Goldberg. Like, they are
See, it's not that
they
bad.
Are just killing
everybody.
I like
Whoopi Goldberg. I like that one.
Yeah, they're just killing everybody. So I retweeted that if you want to see it.
Okay. Yeah, that was good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so Texans-Browns this week. So we get into that later in the week.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but worth a mention that John Morosi, who we go to for a lot of baseball information, MLB Network and MLB.com, reporting the Astros showing continued interest in free agent pitcher Nathan Eovaldi. He's the second best pitcher ever from Alvin, Texas.
Who's the first? I don't know. That doesn't ring a bell.
You probably should know that.
Alvin, Texas. Never heard of it. Never heard of it.
But if you have problems,
Mike Scott.
But if you have problems with your foundation, and that's a knucklehead, you'll know who number one is. If Eovaldi signs with Houston, the best pitcher from Alvin, Texas, will be able to watch him at every home game. There's another.
Yeah.
That would be nice. We've said all along that would be a nice add to the rotation, regardless of what happens in a year's time with the two big guns and also whatever happens with Charlie Morton, Dallas Keuchel, et cetera, et cetera. Having Nathan Eovaldi come back home and be a part of that rotation, I'll take that.
I would be okay with that. That would not hurt my feelings. There were some other rumors, too. I mean, obviously, the Paul Goldschmidt rumor is still ongoing.
That's not going away.
J.B. Bukauskas is one of the big names being pushed from the Astros as far as trying to bring in Paul Goldschmidt. Some other names, though, that the Astros were looking for outfield help. Obviously, the Buster Olney reporting, A.J. Pollock, Andrew McCutchen, and Michael Brantley, all names.
I love Michael Brantley.
That are being targeted. The problem with Pollock is that it'll come with a little bit more pricey of a price tag because he got a qualifying offer, and if they do that and that comes attached with him, you would have to give up their second highest draft pick and $500K in international pool space if they were to sign AJ Pollock. So he might be third on that list. I would probably bump McCutchen down too.
Brantley's free.
Yeah,
they didn't tender him an offer.
But Pollock might be the best of the three. But he's going to come with
you
the most.
So?
Yeah, he's going to come with the highest price tag.
I said before the Indians let him go, Brantley'd be a great ad for the Astros.
He would be a good ad, no doubt. I'm not sold on McCutchen. I think the other two, I would prefer Brantley and Pollock over
he's
McCutchen.
He's falling off
any
the
day.
Planet pretty quick from his MVP year.
But to get some help in left field, Marwin being gone
assuming he's gone. Yeah.
Aledimus Diaz being added. So yeah,
I'll tell you what.
However you say it, Aldemus. I don't know.
Close enough. Yeah. Did you guys see the little Twitter spat last night between Breggs and Trevor
Bauer? We need
Bauer
to discuss
again?
This.
We need to get that after
Fantastic.
The break. I stumbled upon that. I was highly entertained. Yeah. Alex
Fantastic.
Bregman doing it again on social media. We'll get to that and a whole lot more. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today.
Hey, Jim. You know the old sugar daddy. They be tricking, they tell them girls.
I said you can have whatever you like.
If you like.
I said you can have whatever you like.
If you like.
Yeah.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number two of the three-hour extravaganza, we call The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. It's a Way Back Wednesday, songs pre-2008 that you would sing in the shower. I got hour number two, which is right now. Barry had hour number one, and Nick will bring up the rear, but we know that with his bots and all the different accounts that he controls here within the station, he will win on any poll at any given time.
I'm not going to put up a poll, so.
You are a poll sitter.
I am not a poll.
You're a poll sitter.
Oh, am I?
That's Trey. It's a NASCAR term.
So, you know, you always talk about my bots and how I win because of my bots.
Well, but you gave it away. You said you controlled the ESPN 975 tweets and this tweet and that tweet. So you have a lot of votes that you can partake in, which I don't have.
Maybe. I guess the mystery we'll never know. But
okay.
I saw yesterday that the Texans are doing the same thing that the Rockets are.
Bots?
After a game.
Oh, no.
Did you guys notice that?
No.
Are you guys getting those bots?
No.
No. Do you know why?
Same reason why we didn't get a press pass.
No, because there's a setting in Twitter where you can say, don't notify me if someone that doesn't follow me tweets at me.
Well, we've talked about this, but did you do it to the Texans too?
And my life is glorious because all these haters, including the sports bots, I don't hear from.
You got rid of all the Rockets bots that Daryl Morey and his crew have done?
Every one of them. I never get a tweet now after a Rockets game. Nor do I get a tweet after a Texans game. Nor do I get silly tweets from people that don't follow me. It's
amazing.
Got my
first one after a Texans game last time.
The only time I'll get a notification is if somebody is following me and then they tweet me something stupid, I'll see it. But they have to be following me.
The bots are out there, man.
So you get the ones from Daryl.
It sucks.
You get the
ones. It's frustrating.
You get Daryl's tweets about the playbills and the Broadway shows and all the people he's met.
Nope. I don't get any of that. I don't get any of those.
I didn't know the Texans are doing it.
Well, I didn't know either. It was literally after Monday Night Football. It was the first time I've ever gotten a Texans bot tweet after the game.
Yeah, the Rockets are the ones that always do it.
So maybe it's not just the Rockets. Or maybe it's not the Rockets. Maybe it's somebody else creating these.
So did you try and kiss up.
Did you look at the tweet, at the account, and see who else they've tweeted, who they follow, who follows them, and what their other tweets have been about?
I always look at how many followers they have. It's one.
The Rockets bots have been, when I go to them, they've tweeted other people about other teams, which is why it's a little suspect, no pun intended, that it's not just about the Rockets. So I think it's either an NBA thing or maybe
So you're saying instead of looking at how many followers they have, I always look at it to see, like, is it a new account and they're just using it to be able to spread the gospel?
Look at their tweets. They tweet about other teams.
I can cut and paste.
Well, why would you? But if their only one tweet is about the Rockets and they've tweeted seven times or nine times and they're tagging other media people, I mean, you can't really pin that just on the Rockets.
Oh, I can.
That's either an NBA. Well, of course you
yes,
would.
I can.
But that's either an NBA thing or it's just an account that's trying to build up followers by talking sports and they just like, do you have ESPN in your bio? Do you have the terms ESPN in your bio?
I do.
I think I do.
You do. So what people can do is send this to everybody with ESPN in their bio or everybody in Houston with ESPN in their bio, and then they schedule tweets that just go, oh, man, did you see that game, that blank Astros, Rockets, Texans game, to whoever has ESPN in Houston. Hmm. So you can't necessarily pin – because I thought the same thing for a while. I thought I would actually, like, be dirty, like, mean, curse the account and the Rockets and tag them. And then I started to realize maybe it's
just something else. You sucked all the fun out of it when you started figuring it out.
But I
liked it when it was just at the initial stages. It was a lot more fun.
Sorry, guys. I have to be the smart one on the show.
You're the IT guy.
I know. I got to be the smart one and the funny one. Ugh, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
All right. I already know for a fact that they have a whole staff of people that monitor everything in every chat room and otherwise
to make sure you
don't talk bad about the Rockets.
Yeah, God.
It's pretty
Could you imagine
to,
if they
it's
were radio
easy
hosts?
To do these days,
They'd be
Nick.
Exhausted if they were radio hosts getting subtweeted and texted. And
got to be a tough situation to be in, like if you're a PR for a team, because you got to be that mean person when people talk bad about you. And really, you can't do anything about it. When you think about it, even if you're a flagship station somewhere else in another city, like, what are you going to do when someone has an opinion that didn't sound so favorable about your team? Like, what's the big deal?
So there's an article that just came out. Funny you should say that. But someone finally wrote an article to try and explain to the common fan what exactly you're talking about, Nick, because of the fact that when you're a broadcaster like us and you can speak honestly and freely and you're not even a flagship for any of the stations, it's the best case scenario because you can just be yourself and give your opinions. But Bleacher Report, and I'll retweet it, did a great article about the precarious perch of NBA broadcasters because I've lived this. You can't be honest and be yourself when you're working for a team because literally during the course of a broadcast, they will text you. They will come up to the broadcast location and like a teacher with a ruler slap the back of your hand and say, you can't say that. You don't talk about them. Mm-mm. And there's an art form to saying when James Harden is getting his ass lit up because he can't play any defense, but what you're supposed to say is you can't say that Harden got his doors blown off and he's not playing defense. You have to say, boy, Paul Pierce is just having one of those nights where good defense can't stop great offense, and offense is prevailing tonight. Nothing James can do. Well, nothing James is doing because he's not playing any defense. But if you say it, you're going to get your butt chewed out. Mm. So, yeah, I just retweeted it. It's just someone finally put into words what a lot of people have to live with.
Yeah.
And it's a tough situation.
I'll listen to the road broadcast when I watch Rockets games, like the opposing teams broadcast from time to time. Yeah. And that every once in a while, you'll get someone criticizing James Harden or Chris Paul. Or it's always them being the dirty team or the dirty player because they got to sound favorable for their team.
Sure.
But so, I told you.
Are they as bad as the groups that we have? If you listen.
Yeah, dude, I want to get the team right because it was a really bad road broadcast team. And he
radio
just,
or TV?
TV.
It had to be the Celtics.
And he just would Tommy not Heinze, stop about Harden's little head jerk that he does to draw the foul.
Uh-huh.
And he's just saying, oh, he's getting, you know, like 50 more, like a ridiculous number, like 50 more fouls a season or something because he's won all these head jerks. I'm like, what are you talking about? That's not even a real stat, bro.
Do they say anything? He's like, oh, he shot it from Poughkeepsie. do they do any of that?
Some, yeah, there's some. I can't tell you names.
But they just go, ooh, Bill.
You knew that was coming.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
As
That's
soon
fantastic.
As it comes up, he's going to do it.
Just trying to be honest, because you know. But here's the one that I told you about. That's because the teams obviously want to protect their players, right? So I totally get that. And Craig and I understood that you don't bash the Rockets. You have to try and deflect and give credit to the other team, so that it doesn't look and sound as bad. So that
I would be so bad at that.
So that the CEO doesn't punch a hole in his living room wall during a game because you're losing to the Bucks. But at the same time, what you don't understand is the team. When you used to get reprimanded because you criticized someone on another team and you got the message, hey, we like that guy. And in a couple years, we might go after that guy. His mom's listening tonight and his agent's in the building. Well, his agent's not listening because he's in the building and his mom doesn't give a rat's ass what the Rockets radio people say. But if you just want to give me like a Webster's dictionary sized book of guys I can't talk about, that would help me. Because otherwise, how am I supposed to know?
Yeah, those gag orders can get kind of...
Yeah,
but it happens everywhere. I mean, it happens on the NFL Network. It happens at CBS. It happens at a bunch of media outlets. So
yeah, it gets petty. And then it gets tricky because sometimes you get the ex-athlete that gets hired by, say, ESPN, but they don't realize ESPN is connected with ABC, was connected to... So you have a whole bunch of other entities that you also have to respect and can't talk about. And it's just... It can be a pain in the ass. So...
We didn't get to the Trevor Bauer, Alex Bregman thing in the segment. We teased it, so we've got to get to that next segment.
Pretty safe to say, though, that of all the pitchers that the Astros are looking to acquire, Trevor Bauer's probably not going to be one of them.
Breaking news.
Yes.
Of the pitchers on the Indians staff, he's the one most likely to be moved, not Kluber.
But not to the Astros.
Not necessarily to the Astros, but if the Astros are looking for starting pitching and they're looking the Indians' way, Trevor Bauer might be the guy that gets moved and not Kluber or what's his name?
Carrasco.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm saying he's not coming to the Astros.
There's more control on those guys. Yeah,
if you have any hopes of signing Garrett Cole long term, you ain't doing it with Trevor Bauer on your roster. Or Alex Bregman.
That too.
All right, we're at the midway point of the show. Don't go anywhere. We got 90 minutes still to go in the big show, and we'll be back with the second half. It's the Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5. About you now.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nine in the books, 90 still to go in the big show as you return for the second half of The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Wayback Wednesday here on The Usual Suspects. And I want to correct something for people that had inquiries yesterday about the fact that they feel like if they don't listen to the entire show on a regular basis, they aren't a usual suspect. False. The fact that you make every effort and a concerted effort on a regular basis to listen to the show, whether you get the whole show or parts of the show, we appreciate you and you are a suspect.
Bonus if you like me more than Joel.
I noticed there was no sound effect there. So there you go.
I mean, there's no reason for me to give Barry a sound effect in that situation.
I appreciate that, Nick.
Right? Was there a reason for a drop there?
No.
Are you questioning my production?
No. I'm actually supporting it.
I know.
Just a sellout.
Like Nick's going to say, see, that's okay.
Huh?
Nothing. Go ahead.
What?
Hot? What?
Huh?
Am I like the only producer that does that?
No.
What?
Oh, okay.
No. Jong does it.
No, he doesn't. I've never heard him say that.
Say what?
Hot. Oh. Before the mics are hot.
Well, Trey does it 5 minutes into a segment.
Yeah. Hot. Trey will go hot, and then he won't turn it on for three minutes. And then it won't be hot.
And then while we're talking, you hear, hot.
Jose Partida does it.
Does he?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think. Tyler will just kind of go, hot. Like, you're just, it's not, he's not as enthusiastic. Yeah, he's not as enthusiastic about it, but he'll tell you when your mic is hot.
And Harrison's the opposite. He'll talk to you in sentences, and you're back. Go ahead.
Really?
Yeah. He does that a lot.
Oh, nice.
It's like, he's like, you're on a plane. Fasten your seatbelts, and you're back.
There was, I'm trying to remember on Sunday, so Michael Carroll used to tell us the mic was hot, and then we ended up with another producer before Tyler, and I don't remember who it was, but he would not tell us that the mic was hot, and it drove me insane.
You just had to look at the light on.
Yeah, you had to know, and they
Did
would
you
just,
yell at them.
They would just look at you, and you're like, "What? Oh, God. Well, you got to say something. I don't know. Yeah, it was kind of weird. I don't remember who that was, but
screw that guy.
Yeah, it's okay. We're good.
I figured.
Yeah. So this little Twitter spat between Alex Bregman and Trevor Bauer is pretty dynamic. So Trevor Bauer was out there on the interwebs on Twitter, trying to plug some new offseason initiative that he has. He says, I'll pay for a full driveline bases hitting assessment and 4 weeks of training for the first 10 current affiliate ball hitters or ex-big leaguers with a certain amount of experience.
Someone with professional baseball experience.
Also, $1,000 bonus for every homer hit off me. Tag who you would like to see me match up against. You won't, Breg. So he says that. And so he's basically saying, look, I'm out here doing my thing, and you know, and no one can hit a home run off of me, so tag somebody. And then he says, calls Alex Bregman out, to which Alex Bregman responds, I'll save them for the postseason next year. So already it's 1-0 Alex Bregman, because he tried to call him out, and it didn't go his way. So then Trevor Bauer responds, soft, LOL. And then Alex Bregman responds to that with soft AF and a YouTube video of Bregman hitting a home run off of Trevor Bauer.
In the playoff.
Yes. I mean, just smoked him. Just smoked him. It wasn't even close. This was 2-0. The judges scored a unanimous decision. Alex Bregman wins the fight, the Twitter fight.
And it was the back and forth. I was just like, oh, come on. Someone just respond. Keep going.
Tried because he goes, oh, well, it would be fun content for your YouTube channel, my friend. No, that's too late. Now you're just trying to be, that was weak.
Yeah.
That was soft AF. That was really soft, Trevor.
Nice try.
Yeah. You lost. That was pretty bad. That could not have gone worse for him.
But from a Bregman perspective, I love this because it's the off season. But right before you face Nathan Uvalde, don't put out videos of all your guys hitting home runs and then he shuts your ass down.
Because somebody on the Twitters was like, he's a badass in the postseason until he faces Uvalde. I was like, ugh.
And let's not forget, the day before that game against Uvalde, he had to put up the back-to-back-to-back jacks that the Stros did during the regular. Yeah. Not a good look.
Didn't go well.
Nope.
So there's that.
Yeah. So we got a little baseball out of the way, but hopefully things are going to start to heat up. We're going to have Jeff Blum on tomorrow. So he can break down some things all baseball related and the fact that the Blummer is also got a new blog coming out.
A new podcast, not blog, right? Is it a blog or a podcast?
I think it's both. But
oh, really?
I think it's both, yeah. But regardless, yeah, he said he's figured out the podcast thing. So technically,
I like it.
He might be more like me than you.
Oh.
To have to figure out some things technically. But I think he's got a handle.
I'll help him, though.
See, that's exactly right.
I'm just messing with you.
No, that's actually fact.
No, I wouldn't help him. I don't know him that well. I wouldn't help him. I mean, if I'm not going to help you, I'm not going to help him.
No, stop it. You'd help him for you.
That's not true.
So,
go ahead.
Go ahead. No.
Well, I was going to say, so we talked about the different rankings, and I saw this announcer team rankings.
Yeah, I put that on there.
I don't want to get into the details of the minutiae of it, but let's just talk about 1 and 2.
So there's
because
a list.
Everybody
let's
else
point it
sucks,
out.
Right?
Let's just point it out. Okay, so there was a list done
on Awful Announcing.
By Awful Announcing where they took every NFL broadcast team.
Yes.
So obviously Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, or Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. Or the horrible Monday Night Football crew that everybody likes to rip for very good reason. So there's 15.
Yes.
Total. Yeah, like you said, the bottom of the pack, you can pretty much
guess. Tessitore, Jason Witten, and Booger McFarland are 15 out of 15. That's not good. You want to be one on this list, not 15.
It's so like trying to pull a rabbit out of your head.
They get all D's and F's.
Yes.
The top two, I think, is a little more interesting because to be honest with you, between 14 and 3, I was like, who? I don't know. Tom Brenneman and Chris Spielman? No idea.
I know.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman checked in at 6, which kind of surprised me.
But I love that.
You hate Joe Buck.
Yes, I do.
And then like 5 was Kevin Burkhardt and Charles Davis. No idea. But 2 is Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. And that surprised me. There are as many people that hate Jason Witten and hate Joe Buck and hate Troy Aikman. I feel like that's the same amount of people that probably hate Chris Collinsworth.
I was going to say, not Al Michaels. Al Michaels is a legend that just is a little bit past his time. But at the same time, yeah, there's a ton of people that hate Chris Collinsworth.
I've never seen anything. I feel like I'm the only guy that likes Chris Collinsworth because I actually do like him.
I don't mind him.
A guy that I never really liked was Phil Simms. But I don't mind Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels together. But of course, number one, the new dynamic duo, Jim Nantz and Tony Romo.
Mm-hmm.
And they barely edged out. Which surprised me. They barely edged out Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth.
I think just because Romo has brought a new addition to the booth, he's kind of made it more hip and current. He's using more, terms. And because he's really good at picking apart a defense and telling people what to anticipate is going to happen on the next play.
Not only just the anticipation, but I think he's really good at breaking it down after the fact. Like, he shows you what happened in the play. And a lot of people do that, and that's fine. But I feel like the way he does it and what he describes, because he tells you what's going to happen. And then if it doesn't happen, he tells you why. And if it does happen, he shows you why. Yeah, I think he really, and then in the article they even mentioned that it really seems to have rejuvenated Jim Nantz because he was just kind of going through the motions, and now they feel like he's stepped his game up again because he's excited about Romo. So
that's all the people knew Jim Nantz for was hello, friends.
That's it.
But no, the other thing is I guarantee you in production meetings now with the producers and the people that are running these broadcasts, they're encouraging their color analysts to be more like Romo-esque.
Oh, no doubt. You can tell. Witten's trying so hard. He's not even close to being like that, but he tries. Bless his little heart, he tries.
That's the one I was going to say.
Ain't happening.
They're telling Witten or asking Witten, hey, try and break down this formation and tell the viewer why there's trips on the top side and what to expect, things like that. He's trying.
He's not good at it.
Boy, when he tried to tell that story the other night about Earl Campbell and Bum Phillips and like the mile run,
yeah,
and even Tessitore was just kind of like trying to speed him up. Going
when they no, that wasn't even that bad. When they did the demonstration of when he was trying to block J.J. Watt, and then they did a live demonstration in the booth where Witten was J.J. Watt and Tessitore was Witten, and then it was just garbage. I was like, guys, stop. That's not. No one's liking that.
It was awful. It was like Barry Warner was telling the story. I mean, it was going on for like 6 plays, and Tessitore's trying to speed him up. It was like, okay, Witt, we get it. Stop right now. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We've
joining
got plenty
us
more
next,
to get to.
Lance Zierlein.
Oh.
The one and only Lance Zierlein will be joining us next for one segment from the 2:45 to 3 o'clock. So stick around after the break for that.
Well, hoity-toity with there Lance you go. Z. All right, before we get to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. If you have a leak in your roof or you're looking to put a new roof on your house or you're still trying to crawl out from under all of the damage done by the hurricane and you've dealt with storm chasers, deposit thieves, sketchy roofers, or you just haven't dealt with it at all yet and it needs to be dealt with, there's only one name to call. It's Fitz Roofing, FITZRoofing.com. If you call Fitz Roofing, you are going to get a free, no-obligation inspection today. They're not going to charge you a thing. They're going to tell you exactly what they can do and what should be done with your roof and let you go from there. But if you call 832-521-3001, you are going to be in contact with the best people in the Houston area to do any and all roofing work on your house. They are a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company. That means, one, they use CertainTeed shingles, and two, the fact that they have the Select Shingle Master Company award by CertainTeed means only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States meet the criteria to attain this elite status, and they'll do it all for you. The money goes to help. The money that you put forth will be used throughout the process as long as they will communicate with you as well, too, to make sure that they know that they are doing the best job for you and you know you have the best company in the area. They have an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. I'm telling you, it's the only place you should call. 832-521-3000. 1001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back! It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, knee deep in hour number two of the three-hour extravaganza. Speaking of an extravaganza, royalty has joined us once again the king of the glory hole. No?
Oh, bye.
Glory Boys.
Yeah.
You guys have been all over that, huh?
Impressive.
That
very
yeah, that's
nickname
a really
thing.
Cool branding, Glory Boys. Sounds like something from 1950s.
What am I missing?
Oh, the Texans. That's
for whatever reason, Tyrann Mathieu has decided they're the Glory Boys. And he's got shirts made up with a Z. And it's
Glory
not
because that makes it easier
yeah.
and better.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes it
and
edgy.
It's just, I'm just not feeling that name. The Glory Boys. We were making fun of it. And of course,
oh, you are this morning?
Well,
for a couple days. A
few days. Oh. It's turned into a thing. Dell's keeping it alive.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. Well, and John.
Shocker. Dell's your biggest fan.
Dell isn't a fan of anybody.
Well, that's okay. He loves Nick.
Tolerates.
Oh.
Tolerates. That's good. That's a like, really. That's a win for you, Nick.
Hey, I want to ask you real quick, because you are the king of breaking down everything, scouting college football wise, otherwise, and NFL prospects. But lost in all this, the balloting and everything going on with college football and UCF and their undefeated run and all the things is their quarterback's knee got absolutely annihilated this weekend. Mackenzie Milton. Ugh. Was he an NFL prospect?
It was going to be tough. He was really undersized. He's one of those gritty dual threat quarterbacks that you don't really see that offense run in the NFL. His running was a big part of what he did. He's sub 6 feet. He's like 185, 190 pounds. So really, from a physical standpoint, he wasn't going to be drafted.
Okay.
He was a great athlete, but you would have heard talk about people trying to move him to safety or something like that.
So he's like Stidham from Auburn.
No, Jarrett's bigger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right.
I'm talking about NFL prospects.
Yeah, Jarrett's like 6'2", 2 whatever. I don't know, 218, 214, something like that. Jarrett has not had a good year. It's been a bad situation over there.
I'm just looking forward to your draft analysis on that. So
We're going to find out.
Yeah. So other than that.
We're going to find out.
And by the way.
Tape don't lie.
Lots of pub for you on the tube with Channel 2 lately. Love the sport coats. Looking very sharp out there on Channel 2 with Randy McAvoy.
Oh, you big-time TV star?
Week after week.
I've done 5 of them so far. I'll do 6 all year long. But yeah, Channel 2 has me come in usually when Jerome isn't doing it.
I like to see you out there. It's good. And I love the plaid sport coats. Good look for you.
I appreciate it.
You have a plaid sport coat?
Several.
It's not plaid. It's,
is that the same one or you got a couple?
It's a pattern. It's a pattern.
You have a couple, don't you?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same company. You're not Nick Wright.
Same company makes them.
You're not Nick Wright. Just
actually,
one.
No. Shout out Rudy Festari. I got the blue ones from Rudy. Elevay is the other two. But I don't like having to wear coats, but you got to do it sometime.
It's a good look.
I appreciate it, Joel.
You're welcome.
I feel like Joel's being facetious.
Passive aggressive, if I'm being honest.
Why?
But Joel's tone is always passive aggressive. That's why no one can tell his tone.
Exactly.
You can't
good
tell.
Look.
Thank you.
I like
you
it.
Can never tell when Joel. Everyone says that about you. I can't tell if Joel's being serious or joking around or being like, no one can. And you know that about yourself. Do you not? Yes or no? Do you know that about yourself? No one knows tone.
My mic is off. I am out of here.
Yeah, I just.
What's the slow look? What's the slow turn for? Is that a thing on this show?
No, I just want to keep people guessing, and we'll just leave it at that.
I will say this.
I know Joel, so I've gotten to know him, so I know his tone is sarcastic.
At the risk of him getting mad at me, which would be nothing new.
Shocker.
Right. He does have a difficult time sometimes messing with people, because you're like, wait a minute, are you being a, like, Because he's dry and he's deadpan.
Yes. His face is deadpan.
It's hard to tell if he's messing with you.
You don't change facial expression.
And he'll tell you, because sometimes I'll be like, why were you so mean to them? He goes, I was just joking. Like, that felt so mean. No, I was just joking with him. I'm like, God, they're crying in the hall right now.
Who? Are you saying that to interns?
Everybody.
Oh, stop it. Barry is the king of abusive
interns.
You abuse interns?
I have no idea. No.
He doesn't know their names, and when he does, then he just lights them up.
AJ's the king of it.
That's not. Oh, AJ will. I would agree with that.
AJ will tell you to your face, like, "Yeah, I'm not. Don't talk to me. I don't like them to talk to me.
Yeah,
he's trying to get stuff done.
He will. He will. Don't talk to me.
I heard the guys this morning giving you a hard time for being like accusing you of being a member of the Blitz.
I am a member. I come on Wednesdays. And when you guys are number one, I'm a member of this show. Any show that's number one that I'm on, I'm going to claim it.
We've been co-host. Number one before.
It seems like
And I was a jerk. And I was a feat. That's what I'm saying.
No, you weren't.
And I'm on. I'm not even on my show. If we're second place, I'm not on my show. I'm a blitz. I do the blitz.
We were number one for several months in this market, and you were nowhere to be found.
No, I was.
You had nothing to do with us.
Well, I claimed you. And one day I did. I said, my number one shows, and I rattled off, and I said, Usual Suspects.
Uh-huh. Sure.
I mean, not the Charlie Palillo show. I don't get invited on.
No?
No, but you were used to sitting in the penthouse at number one when Clanton would carry you.
Oh, damn.
That was his cross to bear.
That was his cross to bear.
What do you want to tell you?
CrossFit or cross to bear?
Both, either.
Okay. All right.
Did you see the J.J. Watt picture?
I was just going to ask you because I was going to tell you, Lance, did you know Clanton posed for that picture?
Did you see this picture?
No.
So this was the picture. The NFL Network put out this picture of Deshaun Watson, J.J. Watt, and DeAndre Hopkins.
Anything like
any
of them.
And we were making fun of the way they all looked, and Joel nailed it when he's like, J.J. Watt looks like Adam Clanton in this picture.
Look, he does. The way they have his hair, a little bit. That's not how J.J.
very Clanton. No.
He's not a high spike
guy. He's a crew cut kind of guy.
Yeah.
I mean, and somebody said that DeAndre Hopkins looks like Whoopi Goldberg. Like, it's not even close.
Yeah, this is and Deshaun.
It's a terrible. Yeah, his hairline is terrible.
No, that's not good.
Yeah, it was a bad look.
By the way, so you might be able to answer this.
Okay.
So our entire first segment on Monday was James Harden had a headband on, and Dell surmised, and I think correctly, that James got a bad edge up on a road.
I said the same road game.
Yeah, and he went headband. Because
it was a LeBron headband too. It was like a bed sheet.
Right on the head, on the hairline. And then Dell said, let me see what he was wearing, see if he was wearing a dad hat in postgame. So he went there, he goes, yep, wearing a hoodie in postgame. Like, yeah. Mm. It was a haircut going.
Is that why?
Because we've 100%. Talked about this. They have a built in barber's chair and a barber for every game day at the Toyota Center. But on the road, you're on your own. And I did not hear Dell say that, and I didn't realize he was wearing something after the game either. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you know, after putting a 50 piece, he's gonna do it again.
He's no, 100%.
He'll wear the headband again, which is
he doesn't
horrible
care
look.
That they lost. He just cares that they got 50.
That's exactly right.
Oh, that's terrible.
Well, but the other thing is, it looks he can say, well, this isn't really his brand, and you can't come off the top with it. Like, that's your brand. You have to wait for it to grow back if you're James. So I think that's 100% what happened.
I think he got a bad
road edge up, and now he's waiting for it to grow back, and then all of a sudden the headband will be gone in 2 weeks.
Before we get out of here, I want to get your thoughts on the whole...
I think Isaiah Hartenstein bumped into...
And they're in the bar. Yeah, probably.
Whoever gets cut next...
I mean, Michael Carter-Williams. He's bad at everything. Yeah. He's staying out of the way. Your thoughts on the Reuben Foster situation in Washington and the Redskins claiming him.
He's not a good dude.
Is that a risk you take?
I guess it depends on your philosophy for your team. I mean, he's a good football player. I think he's likely to do something like this again. There has been an incident. What was it? Earlier this
I think he's been arrested three summer. Times in the
he's
last
had something
12
in October.
Yeah.
There's yep. some, like there's always something. I think he's a guy who doesn't really have the same level of respect for women, or he doesn't have the same opinion of how you deal with women or adversity within a relationship as most other people. And so I think it's more likely I don't think that he considers this an issue, and I think it's bound to happen again at some point if he is put into a situation where it's the adversity that triggers his acts of anger. So I mean, I wouldn't do it. I think you're going to look really bad if and when it happens again.
Well, doesn't Washington look bad regardless? Because whether it was Doug Williams or Dan Snyder or whoever, and people are saying, well, it's the same woman, and the last time she retracted it and the charges went away. So they're doing it because they're expecting that to happen. From a league perspective, from a bad look for the league perspective, don't you think the league has to step in and go, look, we just got to put an end to this. Mm-hmm. And whether you ban the guy completely or you put him on some probationary list, but it's a bad look for the Redskins regardless.
I agree, and I think all you have to do is say, well, with this pending, we are not, you know, we're going to put him on an exempt list and he can't play football right now. I think that's a smart thing to do because you got to really see what else comes out of this case. You know, LeSean McCoy, they didn't rush to judgment on LeSean McCoy. I don't think they acted properly with Ray Rice, obviously, when we got all the details, but this is one where he had edge coming out of college. He's shown it in the pros. To me, it's not like this came out of the blue. I'd be very careful with how I dealt with Ruben.
Not only that, but I feel like the statement that they made was it rang hollow. And then they talk about the fact that if it's found to be true, if he's found, then we won't condone that. What do you mean you won't condone that? They didn't even say they would cut him. They just said, we will frown upon this if he actually slapped her.
I know.
What? It was a horrible statement. PR people should be fired. Because
it was from garbage. Doug Williams, but I mean,
Tony
no way.
Still there?
It was garbage.
Yeah, Tony's still there. I don't know how Tony let that thing get
out. Yeah, I was going to say, Tony Wiley's the kind of guy.
Tony's pretty good at making sure that kind of stuff doesn't get out. I thought that was a poorly written or worded release as well.
No doubt.
Tony Wiley should stop letting other people write these releases.
Tony just needs to jump in and
that's right. He needs to do big ones he's still got to take. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Lance, we appreciate you. You can catch Lance on the bench every morning right here on ESPN 97.5. We'll be back with the final hour of the big show in just mere minutes. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
No hatred. The summer's almost done. No time for sleep. Jump in your Jeep and pump up the funky beat. A holy. Bieber goes off. Yo, smash it, then trash it. You're too young to be plumped in a casket.
ESPN 97.5.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.